Well, as has been said already, I will say again, happy Mother's Day. We are incredibly blessed to have mothers. You know, it is interesting, for those who've been around a little while, I preached Mother's Day last year, and I shared that it was the first time I'd ever done a Mother's Day sermon before, and was one of the hardest sermons for me to do. Here we are. We love our mothers. We love the women that God has placed in our lives to care for us, to care for our children. Many, many great qualities of mothers. One characteristic of a caring mother is just their willingness to stand up for the interests of their child. They come, this quality just seems to be innate within them, that they protect, they provide for, they care for their children. We even see animals do this, right? Like the phrase mama bear communicates that, right? The mama bear is protective of her cubs. I was watching some videos on YouTube that highlighted how animal moms are protective of their children. I saw this giraffe take on a lion that was coming after her baby. I was watching this incredible video of this elephant, this mother elephant, who was getting the attention of the people watching her. They realized something was wrong, and as they followed this elephant, the elephant led the people to her baby who had gotten stuck in a pit, and they were able to rescue the baby. Similarly, the Bible tells a story of a human mother who is persistent, who did not give up, who cared for her child, a mother who would do anything to help her child. Our story this morning reveals this mother who comes to the Lord ready for him to do something that she knew only he could do. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 15 this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 15. We're going to be looking at verses 21 through 28. Have you ever found yourself needing God to move on your behalf? Have you ever needed a miracle for provision, for healing, for restoring a broken relationship, and it seemed impossible? Maybe you are in that position right now. That's where this mother was. This message this morning is not just for mothers, it's for all of us, because friends, what we're talking about is faith. We're talking about faith to believe that God will provide, that God will move on our behalf. And the truth is that, as we're going to see today, God is pleased with our faith. God rewards that faith. Some of you this morning are wrestling with a difficult situation, and you're crying out for a miracle, and this requires great faith. And today, as we look at an account from Jesus' life in the Gospel of Matthew, we're going to observe a path that great faith must take in on its way to God's rewards. Your faith, my faith, are on a journey toward God and his rewards. And along this journey of faith, we have similar encounters. What does great faith encounter on the way to God's rewards? That's what I want us to see this morning. So look with me in Matthew chapter 15. We're going to read verses 21 through 28. Follow along as I read. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she's crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And then Jesus answered her, "O woman, Great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desired. And her daughter was healed instantly. The context of this story in Matthew 15 is that just a few passages earlier, we see that Jesus is teaching, he's been healing people in Gennesaret on the coast of the Sea of Galilee. And here in verse 21, we learn that Jesus is heading to the Mediterranean, more than 20 miles northwest towards the town of Tyre and Sidon. Jesus is going into Gentile territory, and it would seem he's doing so to get away from the crowd. That's what verse 21 leads us to believe. He's seeking rest from the heavy ministry schedule that he was keeping. And this short story gives us an example and a standard for what it takes to please God. On this journey of great faith, we first encounter that great faith, the great faith that God rewards is a faith that is tested. It's a faith that's tested. Here we have a woman who has a problem. Her daughter is demon-possessed and is suffering terribly. And this woman has heard that Jesus has come to her town, and she trusted that Jesus could heal her daughter. She was desperate. Probably had tried every other avenue to have her daughter set free, and yet this was her last hope. But it seems here in this passage like she's being rejected by Jesus and his disciples. We read in verse 23, but he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, send her away, for she is crying out after us. We're told here that Jesus says nothing to this desperate mother. He completely ignores her. Jesus here appears callous and cold to her cry for help. And we're led to believe the disciples are getting annoyed by this. They may be thinking, here, we've traveled 20 miles to this town, this coastal town, just to get some peace and rest, and here this woman keeps bothering us. And so they eventually urge Jesus to send her away because she'd been crying out persistently. Now, admittedly, we watch this scene unfold, and it's a little difficult for us. This isn't the Jesus we've come to expect. You see, on the outside, it seems as if Jesus just doesn't care. Her situation was clearly a desperate one, so why is Jesus not responding to her need? Similarly, don't we find ourselves facing desperate situations, and we cry out to God, and what we receive on the other side is silence. This is the passage that Athel had prepared to preach on. And as I'm reading through the passage, I'm like, God, come on, what are you doing to me? Because this week, Brittany and I are experiencing a situation where we're crying out to God for help, and all we feel like we're getting is silence. Our ministry, for those that don't know, we lead a college ministry here in Kansas City called Collegiate Impact. We have campus ministries on various campuses, and one of the campuses that we have a ministry on is UMKC. UMKC is one of our largest ministries, as it's the flagship campus in Kansas City. And in just the beginning of this year, we had our campus missionary who was leading that ministry. He went on, God led him on to a different ministry. And so all semester long, we've been without a campus missionary on that campus. And we've been crying out to God, God, we need you to raise up a missionary for this campus, because we have a great group of people of students that we want to continue to minister on. There's a huge campus that's filled with students that need to know the hope and peace of Jesus. So Lord, would you please raise up and provide someone for this campus? All semester long, we've been praying and seeking that individual, and we found a young man who we just really felt good about. And we reached out to him. We're having a great interview. We're having great conversations and things are going really well. And we said, hey, let's fly you out to Kansas City and let's let you meet some of the students, let you meet the staff and learn more about the ministry. And so he comes out and everything's looking great. And we offer him the job and he says, hey, I want to take a couple weeks to really pray over this and really determine if this is what God's leading. And so we say, absolutely. And we're going to continue to pray. And we're bringing in all of our staff and our board members and ministry partners and said, hey, would you join us in prayer? We believe that this is the direction God's leading. And so we talked to him Thursday night and he says, I don't feel like this is where God's leading. And Brittany and I in that moment were like, God, I don't understand. God, don't you see that this ministry needs someone like him to really lead and shepherd it? And God, we've been crying out in desperation. God, help us, provide for us. And it seems as if he's just silent. We're tempted in those moments to say, God, have you forgotten us? Do you not see our situation? Why are you not responding? These are the questions we ask ourselves. And some of you may be asking those same questions today. See, I don't like seasons of silence. None of us enjoy those seasons of silence. But as we walk with the Lord, we learn that the periods of silence are when God is doing his greatest work in our hearts. Agriculture has done a great job of offering us many illustrations when it comes to understanding our spiritual growth. We learn that a seed is planted, then it sprouts, it buds, it flowers, and then it produces fruit. And in agriculture, there are many seeds that require some form of hardship, of hard condition, in order to germinate. We often forget that for a small seed to become a beautiful flower, the process begins in silent darkness. The seed is covered up in soil. It's blocked from the light and it's left alone for a time. Faith is tested, and that faith that is tested grows deeper. We don't like the testing. We don't like the dark silence, but yet it's in the darkness and silence that oftentimes the enemy wants to come and whisper doubts into our thoughts. The enemy loves to come and whisper, God's forgotten you. God's abandoned you. God's never going to answer your prayer. But all the while, the Holy Spirit is working in us. He's refining us. He's teaching us to cling to faith. Author and evangelist Oswald Chambers said something similar in his devotional, My Utmost for His Highest. He says, has God trusted you with a silence that is big with meaning? God's silences are his answers. Are you mourning before God because you have not had an audible response? You'll find that God has trusted you in the most intimate way possible with an absolute silence, not of despair, but of pleasure, because he saw that you could stand a bigger revelation. If God has given you a silence, praise him. He's bringing you into the great run of his purposes. The manifestation of the answer in time is a matter of God's sovereignty. You see, friends, today, if you're in that silent time when God is not answering your cry, at least that's how it seems, would you keep waiting, keep trusting? Because it's in the waiting that the seed of faith that is buried, put under pressure, begins to grow and develop. And as it develops, a fruit emerges that could have come no other way. The first encounter of a great faith that God rewards is a faith that is tested. And the second encounter we see is a faith that matures, a faith that matures. Jesus finally responds to all the crying and pleading of this woman and says to her, verse 24, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So now we've gone from silence to seeming rejection. from Jesus. It seems that he's finally rejecting her completely, that the door is shut. And yet, look at the woman's response in verse 25. It says, she came and knelt before him saying, Lord, help me. We're told she kneels before Jesus. The Greek word there is for kneel is proskuneo, which can also mean to bow down in worship. She's worshiping Jesus. Jesus seemingly rejects her. And what is her response? It's to draw closer to him in humility and in reverence. Oh, what a lesson this has to offer us. When we don't get the answer from God we want, what is our response? Is it to draw closer to God in humility and to worship him? Because that's what this woman does. And it's in this posture that she approaches Jesus with three simple and concise words. Lord, help me. That's it. It's a simple, honest cry from a grieving and needy mother. I'm just picturing this moment where this woman kneels before Jesus. Lord, help me. I would think that the disciples are watching and they're saying, come on, Jesus. And yet, how does Jesus respond? He responds by seeming to insult her, by calling her and her Gentile people dogs. See, there now, to be clear, there's two words. Jews often did refer to Gentiles as dogs. There's two Greek words for a dog. You have a Greek word that communicates kind of that street dog that's disgusting and you don't want anything to do with. And then you have a Greek word for a dog that's, you know, lives in your home and is your house pet. And that second one is the one that he's referring to. But yet, even still, it's not the response that she was wanting. But in verse 26, Jesus says, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But then we're told that the woman responds, and we're told she's getting bolder now, and she has nothing to lose, and Jesus is talking to her, and so she says as a response, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. She's communicating, yes, Lord, but you provide so abundantly that there's even scraps that bless the house pet and can bless me. Her faith in Jesus is a mature faith. It's a faith that honors God, and God, as a result, honors such faith. There's this story of a missionary couple from the 19th century, Robert and Mary Moffat. For 10 years, this couple labored faithfully in the land that is now the modern-day country of Botswana. After 10 years of missionary work, they could not report a single convert. And finally, the directors of their mission board began to question the wisdom of continuing this work. And so, as they were challenged, you know, maybe God's leading you elsewhere, it brought great grief to this couple because they felt for sure that God was in this work. And so, and that God would lead people to turn to Christ in due season. And so they stayed, and for a year or two longer, they still experienced darkness. And then one day, a friend from England sent word to the Moffats that she wanted to mail them a gift, and she asked what they would like. Trusting that in the time the Lord is going to bless their work, Mrs. Moffat replied, hey, send us a communion set. I'm sure it will soon be needed. Well, God honored that dear woman's faith. The Holy Spirit moved upon the hearts of the villagers, and soon a little group of six converts were united to form the first Christian church in that land. The communion set from England was delayed in the mail, but on the very day before the first commemoration of the Lord's Supper in Botswana, the set arrived. Today, Botswana has a population of around 2.6 million people. 66% of them are professing Christians. Now we come to the end of this story of great faith. With this woman, we see a faith that is tested, we see a faith that is matured, and it leads to a faith that is rewarded. You see, as Jesus hears this woman's faith and humility, he responds immediately by commending her faith and healing her daughter. In verse 28, it says, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." Her faith is rewarded and her daughter is healed. You know, it's interesting, in the Gospel of Matthew here, where there's only two times in the Gospel of Matthew where Jesus highlights someone as having great faith. Here you see it with this Canaanite woman, and then also in Matthew chapter 8, you learn of a Roman centurion whose servant was paralyzed. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 8, it says, "The centurion replied, 'Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say a word, and my servant will be healed.'" Two verses later, in verse 10, Jesus responds, "I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." Both the Canaanite mother and the Roman centurion, both of them are Gentiles. And yet on both occasions, Jesus heals from a distance. You see, the reality was that the Gentiles were spiritually distanced from the Jews and from the ministry of Jesus. What Jesus says in verse 24 is in fact true. He did come to deal with the lostness in Israel. That was his focus. But his ministry would overflow to those outside of Israel, like the Roman centurion, like the Canaanite woman, because ultimately his ministry was for the whole world. That's why we see in John 3:16 that God loved the world that he sent his son, that whoever believes should not perish but have everlasting life. One of the reasons why Jesus came to die on the cross was to reconcile all nations and people groups to himself. And so for all of us, those of us who are seemingly close to Jesus and those who are seemingly far from Jesus, he came to save us all. But for all of us, faith is required to receive God's saving rewards. Friends, sometimes it seems like Jesus is saying no. Sometimes it seems like he's blessing others and we're being ignored. This is what tests our faith. It matures our faith. Today, God is looking for people who, like in 2 Corinthians 5:7, walk by faith, not by sight. The reward of a lifestyle of faith is great. God does not put us through trials without reason. It's to develop our faith and trust in him. Individually, corporately, we're frequently being tested in our faith, and that's a good thing. God is maturing us. In James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, James says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." How in the world can I have joy when I encounter various trials? I can have joy because of the progress that such trials do for my faith. You see the progression? Trials test our faith, which produces endurance, which perfects us, and then we will lack nothing. We will lack no good thing. Corporately, this applies. As a church, we will always have our faith tested. There can be no other way. Whether it's a lack of finances, a lack of volunteers to run a program, opposition from the community or the government, a wrestling with a lack of unity and love in the church, whatever the challenge we might face in any given season, we can be grateful for the testing. You see, if there were no challenges in the church, we would never grow and mature into being the healthy body of Christ that God calls us to be. So, what's our response this morning? Well, let me ask you individually, what are you bringing before the Lord today? What's the desperate need of your heart? Don't give up. Don't give up. Be persistent. Come to the Lord daily, hourly, but keep believing that what his word says is true and that he is able to give you what you need. Note that I didn't say he's going to give us all of our wants, but rather all of our needs. God knows our need, and the Lord will provide you in his perfect timing and in his perfect way, and you'll be able to look back with stronger faith. I think of Pastor Athel and Debbie right now. Their faith has been tested, hasn't it? No doubt their faith has matured over this difficult season. When it seems like God has remained silent and abandoned them, what has been their response? They've drawn closer to God. They've worshiped him. That faith in God has been fully on display for their children to see. On this Mother's Day, what can Debbie's children say about their mother? They can say, she's been a mom who has demonstrated incredible faith in her Lord and Savior. That faith in God has been fully on display for our church to see. That faith in God has been fully on display for a watching world to see. You see, though Debbie's battle with health issues would not have been a chapter that Athel and Debbie would have written for their own story, there is no doubt that God is using this chapter of faith to shape their lives and also to impact the lives of so many others. I know Athel and Debbie's heart's desire for their ministry is that Jesus would be glorified as people around them come to worship him. And through their example of faith in this very difficult hardship, that is happening. How is your faith being challenged today? How is God testing your faith today? And what is your response as a result? My exhortation for you this morning is this: don't run from the challenge. Persevere with endurance. Daily come before the throne of grace, calling on God to move on your behalf and allow God to develop and mature your faith. Growing in faith is a journey where we're tested and matured, but that journey is worth it as we draw closer to God who rewards such great faith. Would you bow your heads with me? We're gonna have the worship team come up. We're gonna have the ministry team come up. What's that thing in your life? What's that hardship? What's that challenge? What's that difficulty you're bringing to God? Maybe you need someone to pray for you in that. We're going to have our ministry team up here, men and women who can pray for you. Pray for our faith to grow in maturity. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this word. I needed it. I desperately needed it. And I believe many in this room need it today as well. When it seems as if you are silent, it seems as if you are rejecting us, help us to draw closer. Help us to fall before you in worship, recognizing we know we're unworthy, and you are so worthy of our worship, and we recognize that you and you alone can only do this great thing. So, Lord, would you increase our faith for your glory, for our good, for the good of those around us who are watching. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.